Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Daniel Horowitz and Alex Berenson in a beast of an episode. What is going on with the vaccine? Negative efficacy? Daniel Horowitz makes some big claims. We can't keep our eyes off the vaccine. It's a major issue. We got our eyes on the ball. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Come to our Student Action Summit. Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis will both be there in Tampa, Florida, July 22, 23, 24. In addition, we have Kaylee McEnany, Ted Cruz, Laura Ingraham, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, and more. TPUSA.com/SAS. That is TPUSA.com/SAS. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I've told you many times that one of the great patriots in the last couple of years has been Daniel Horowitz. Now, there's been so much destruction that has come out of COVID. We've destroyed our currency. The borders are wide open. Most suicidal, alcohol-addicted, drug-addicted generation. But one of the positives is that COVID showed me who was real and who was a pretender. I got to see very clearly who was wise and who was a fool. And someone who passed that test and, in fact, went to the top of the list and has had some of the most insightful and brilliant commentary is Daniel Horowitz. And he just got kicked off Twitter, which... it was just a matter of time. Daniel, welcome back to the program.
Hey, great to be with you. Our enemies will always tell us who and what they fear.
That's exactly right. So you got kicked off Twitter for doing what exactly?
For saying that there's negative efficacy to the shots after every country's data shows that the more you inject, the more you infect. But that is the issue they're really clamping down on. If you look recently, they've kicked off all of the people. You could kind of like rail against, you know, fighting for freedom or something. But when you expose what Pfizer has done and things like that, that is a no-fly zone. That is the thing we've noticed. Everyone that has devastating information on the fraudulent trials, on the negative efficacy, and most importantly, on the injuries. That is totally a no-fly zone. You are not, those people do not exist. They do not exist. You can't recognize it. You're not allowed to treat it. You're not allowed to diagnose it. This is open now in the media now. In Australia, there was a big star there, pop star, said five doctors told him they will not diagnose it as such, but they know it is a vaccine injury, this paralysis he had, because they can't. They'll have their license taken away. This is, you know, what Pedro Gonzalez was talking about. He always talks about very articulately. We're living in unrestricted warfare where we are run by ideology. And it's not just the economy. Okay, that's stupid. Are we really going to do that for your ideology? No, it's worse than that. It goes up until including life and death issues, your body, everything will go. Charlie, let me give you a kind of in the weeds insight on COVID, what's going on now. But it's not just COVID. It's emblematic of everything. I think your audience will really appreciate this. So last year, we had this remarkable phenomenon, the first time in history, where doctors weren't allowed to practice medicine. So you had to join the hero doctors of not treating people in respiratory distress from the bioweapon our government seems to have created. You're not allowed to treat them. Okay, so pharmacies were saying, hey, well, COVID's new. There's no approved treatment, so you're not allowed to treat it. So certainly it was ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, but also really antibiotics, steroids, nebulizer
vitamin D
treatments.
Levels. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, that's another thing. They're starting to attack vitamin D too now, and they're grooming people with these stories about people overdosing on vitamin D. It's very interesting what's going on.
I saw one this morning. One of our listeners said, "Charlie, you always push vitamin D. What do you think of this story of this guy that almost died?" I said, "Yeah, he took 80 times the amount that you should take." And if you read the article, take 80 times of anything, you're going to go to the ER.
By the way, Charlie, they recommend 600, which is insane. People are deficient. You know, most of these doctors seem to recommend about 5,000 a day. You know, you get your levels tested. Yes. This guy took 150,000 every single day. And by the way, even then, everything, even the safest things, have a ceiling and a floor for, you know, effective dose for floor and ceiling for toxicity. But even that, it was nausea, vomiting. It wasn't like,
I know,
paralysis, Guillain-Barré, myocarditis.
And by the way, they flushed it out of his system with intravenous therapy after a couple days, and he didn't die.
Nothing like Maddie DeGarry, who was on my podcast, and she has to eat from a feeding tube. She's paralyzed and neurological damage, everything. To this day, it is not recorded in the Pfizer 12 to 15 trial. She was a trial participant. So that's all okay. But anyway, so pharmacists could say, screw you, we're not dispensing it, illegally practicing medicine. Fast forward to yesterday. Think about this. Doctors can't prescribe the safest, longest standing drugs. You might think it doesn't work. That's fine. No one could doubt that they're safe. Yesterday, the FDA announces that pharmacists could unilaterally prescribe Pfizer's Paxlovid, even though it's novel, it's emergency use, it's mixed with ritonavir, an AIDS drug that has 33 categories of contraindications, including statins and steroids and things that every senior is going to be on, almost every senior. It gives you a metallic feeling in your mouth. Look it up, guys, a Paxlovid mouth. And then it has this rebound that makes the symptoms worse. And by the way, Charlie, it's been 25 days since Fauci was diagnosed. And we haven't heard much from him ever since he said the symptoms got worse after Paxlovid. So someone might need to find out where's Waldo at this point, but he's awfully quiet. I hope everything's all right there. But the point is, that is, if you're going to start with pharmacist prescribing, you would start with something like an ivermectin that really should be over the counter. They're starting with a heavy duty, novel experimental drug that already is showing problems, no long-term safety. What am I trying to show you? If something is viewed as the spirit of the age, it's the BLM. It's the rainbow flag. It's Ukraine. It's COVID fascism. It's the vaccine. It's Paxlovid. It's Pfizer's product. Anything and everything goes. Medical norms, social norms, human rights, laws, done. If you are something that's perceived as a threat to the spirit of the age, of that ideology, so it could be other prescriptions that are off-label, you could break every law and medical norm to block it. That is where we're at now. It's not unique to COVID, but it's the most devastating because it's life and death.
So there's this massive push to continue to vaccinate children. Even the Wall Street Journal has come out and said, hold on a second, what is this all about? Where do we stand with that? And can you talk about how these pharmaceutical companies need to get it on the childhood vaccination schedule to get immunity from lawsuits? It's not even about vaccinating kids. It's about immunity protection, because when the emergency use authorization expires, they could be standing up a creek without a paddle.
This is what they want. You get them when they're young, so then it's automatically on the childhood schedule. So done. So it's included in the 72 other shots that they get. You know, at some point, those little legs, there won't be enough Band-Aids to put on in one visit. And that's all okay, by the way, Charlie. There's nothing to see there. There's never an – you just – slap the nomenclature vaccine on and it's awesome. There's never any problems and you're not allowed to look at it.
And you're not allowed to ask questions either, by the way, right? When I got my physical recently, I just was asking my physical recently. I was like, hey, by the way, why do kids need a chicken pox vaccine? Oh, because the science tells us that. Yeah. I said, what science exactly
I had
tells
chicken
you?
Pox and we were all fine when I was a kid.
I said, what's the aluminum content in the chickenpox vaccine. I'm just interested. Like, I'm not anti-vax. I'm just interested. They said, oh, no, you know, that's we don't entertain this kind of conversation.
You don't
here.
Entertain that.
I said, yep. Oh, okay. That's you don't entertain questions. That's good. Yeah.
At some point, facts have to matter.
Elaborate on that point. You're talking about facts matter. We have to follow the truth no matter where it leads us. Daniel Horowitz, elaborate on that.
Sure. I'm speaking to Republicans. Democrats, obviously, they're part of the genocide. The problem with Republicans is this. Facts, they're impervious to facts as much as the Democrats are, because they set up this image that they want to evince to the public. This is the nice Goldilocks thing. I oppose mandates, but I love anything called a vaccine. And that's where they are right now. And obviously, as you well know, when you're doing that, you're not effectively opposing the mandates either. Hence, we still have the military mandates and the worst, you know, things, the kidney transplants being denied, and they're not doing anything about it. But the problem with that, as I said, you'll be made to care. At some point, you can't allow anti-vax to become the new racism. At some point, it has to matter. Thomas Sowell used to say this on illegal immigration. People would be like, I'm pro-immigrant. And he's like, I'm pro-shoes. He wrote a column like 6-7 years ago, The Abstract Immigrant. You know, well, the details matter. I mean, okay, like, I love vaccines. Okay, but this one has over a million adverse events reported to VAERS, over 30,000 deaths, over 200,000 hospitalizations, and over 14,000 categories of maladies. And we know it's woefully underreported because it's so impossible to fill it out. So it's like, dude, we kind of got a problem here. And then they say, now we're going to introduce it on babies. And I thought, okay, they're going to rebel. And there was no one home. It was one governor, the Florida governor opposed it. Every other one promotes it. And in the Senate, it was Ron John and maybe Rand Paul. And that was it. And it's like, dude, they're not done. The New York mayor was saying he's going to force more vaccines on the kids in the falls. You're going to have to engage on this. You can't hide behind this, like, image. I don't want to be anti-vax. If that's going
no,
to disarm us.
What they want is they want the pharmaceutical money, Daniel. You know that. I mean, that's a capital flow, the likes of which those $5,400 contributions come in every year from Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Johnson, and they also think of it as a slur. It's like, and by the way, no one here is anti-vax. We're asking questions, right?
Are you anti-chemotherapy, Charlie? It's like, are you anti-steroids? It's like, well, what? For whom? How much? Like,
yes.
What circumstances?
Yeah, under what? Precisely. And by the way, this is also a vaccine unlike any other. It's a gene-altering.
Yes.
And can you talk just briefly about that, Daniel? I wish we had more time. But the technology of
sure.
it is not like the vaccine for polio that people might think about.
It creates an uncontrolled spike, which is the gain of function bioweapon to go in an unlimited, unknown number of places in your body for an unlimited, unknown period of time. And it causes so many maladies. We don't, it's not novel and experimental anymore. In fact, we have conclusive, there's over a thousand studies in academic literature talking about injuries, and you see it. You can't miss it. You see the excess non-COVID mortality. At some point, you got to pay attention. And then that would be bad enough if it worked, but it creates viral immune escape because it's suboptimal leaky antibodies that are antiquated. I mean, they're still using the Wuhan version on kids. It's just unreal, but nothing matters. They say it openly. They're not doing clinical trials anymore. They're not doing control groups anymore. They didn't do it with this one. They did what's called immunobridging, comparing it antibody levels. They didn't have a control group. And that's all. It's all good. It's all good. I will say this. If you're a Republican that waxes poetic about babies and being pro-life, if you're not fighting back against this, you are not pro-life. Medical freedom is the new pro-life. Pfizer is the new Planned Parenthood. Right. Let me just say this, and I think your audience is mature and smart enough to understand what I'm driving at. I'm obviously against abortion, but at the end of the day, no one's forcing me to get one. And I don't know anyone in my circles who goes and gets one. I could live a life and whatever. I mean, it's something, it's immoral. We should fight it. But this is a forced abortion. And now we're seeing with the issues with stillbirths and dropping birth rates in so many countries coinciding right up with the vaccine take up. You can't avoid this. If you're in the military, you can't avoid this. Okay, that's not okay. I will say this, and I know it's provocative in conservative circles. Everyone's on cloud nine from the Dobbs opinion. But at the same time, we only had three votes to deal with the vaccine mandates, right? We just lost one last week. New York forcing all healthcare workers, no matter what, no matter how, to get it. And we just have Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas. If you put a gun to my head and say you get one win, the vax mandates or Dobbs, I know I'm the only one on the right who will say this, but I cannot understand anyone thinking any elsewhere. I would take the vaccine mandates because that is mandatory. You can't escape it.
Wow.
That's a that's
I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I agree, abortion. But I'll think about that. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
It's a forced abortion.
We'll have to think about it. I see the point. I don't agree with it, but that's interesting. Daniel Horowitz, brilliant as always. Thank you for your courageous commentary. God bless you, man. Thank you.
Take care. God bless.
Every day I report the ludicrous and insane stuff the left is doing to our country and to our children. Drag queen story hours, underage and irreversible sex changes, even grooming in public schools. So we here on this program are working hard to keep you updated on the left's radical agenda. But I'm thrilled to report that my friend Terry Schilling has created a grassroots army that is taking action to finally push back on this stuff. I've got to know Terry really well. I spent a whole week with him last year in the Claremont Fellows. He's incredible. And you could join the American Principles Project Big Family today at SaveTheFamily.app. I highly encourage all my listeners to visit SaveTheFamily.app again. That is SaveTheFamily.app. If you're sick and tired of the left's war on our country and kids and want to do something now to save our country but don't know where to start, visit SaveTheFamily.app. So with us right now is Alex Berenson. I want to go into a lot of different topics with Alex, including the drama of his Twitter ban and reinstatement and suspension and lawsuit. I can't wait to hear about that. Alex, welcome back to the program.
Just talk to you because I think I did just talk to you.
Yes. So, Alex, welcome back to the program. And so tell us about what is the latest with your Twitter ban and reinstatement and the lawsuit.
So, I mean, the latest is that I'm back on. I was reinstated yesterday. The laws of Twitter and I reached a settlement. The terms are confidential, but they did acknowledge they shouldn't have, you know, flagged my tweets and me for removal last year. And you know, there's this other question. I can't remember if we talked about it or not last week, but this issue around my whether or not I'm going to be able to pursue sort of these bigger issues about Twitter's relationship with the federal government and third parties, which, you know, in the lawsuit, I was given some discovery rights, meaning I was going to see Twitter's documents about me and the conversations they had. And I had said publicly that I wouldn't settle the lawsuit without getting those rights retained and the right to publish what I found. And now I've settled the lawsuit. So I can't talk specifically about the settlement, but I would say I hope and expect that pretty soon people will be able to find out whether I kept my word on that. Yeah. So I'm back on, and you know, I'm picking up a couple thousand followers an hour. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and so you say here though that, and just reading your Twitter thread, the significance is that this must apply to everybody if they were kicked off of Twitter due to the five strike policy. Can you build that out for me?
Sure. So listen, I mean, this is an interpretation. Twitter and its lawyers are going to have their own interpretation, which is probably that this is totally wrong. But here's what's so important about the settlement and the case. So these ban cases, typically in the last several years have not even survived a motion to dismiss, which is the most basic level of the lawsuit. In other words, the motion to dismiss doesn't mean that the judge thinks you're going to win. He just thinks that you're going to have some kind of claim that, you know, that a jury should hear or that should move forward into discovery. Okay. And what Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and everybody has said is we have the complete right to run our platform as we see fit. And that means tossing users. And there's a law called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act that basically has been interpreted as providing them this protection. Now, we can argue as to whether or not it's been interpreted correctly, but that's really been the law of the land. It's been pretty settled, and the Supreme Court has not looked at it. So in the Ninth Circuit, which is California, which is where all these companies are based, if you bring a lawsuit and where they insist that you sue them, if you bring a lawsuit, people generally don't even survive the motion to dismiss. And people have said, people, all these, you know, lefty legal analysts on Twitter and elsewhere, and all these journalists who thought they knew, they said, oh, Berenson's going to get tossed like everybody else. So here's what happened. A judge looked and he said, well, there's two issues here. One is that Berenson has these communications with a Twitter executive in which I talked to this guy, and actually he contacted me. I mean, it's all in the lawsuit, the back and forth. And he said, we know what you're doing. You know, we welcome debate around COVID. This was before the vaccines. The vaccines changed Twitter's stance on this. But, you know, we think there should be robust debate. And I said, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to encourage people to break the law. I just think, you know, there's issues around lockdowns and everything else. Okay. But there's a second part, which is that Twitter on its own has gone way past just saying we can ban you if we like. They've set up all these rules about what you can say about elections, rules about, and, you know, in my case, what I ran afoul of was rules about what you could and couldn't say about COVID-19 and the vaccines. Okay. And they had this very detailed policy of how they were going to, you know, give strikes, and you had to have 5 strikes. And if you were going to have a strike and not just have your tweet flagged as being wrong or misinformation, the tweet actually had to, you know, possibly have harm to the public. So they had all these rules, and you can still read these rules. They're all available on the Twitter website. And what the judge said was, it wasn't just that this executive had contacted me. It's that Twitter made its own policies on top of its terms of service. And at some point, or, you know, in my case, I had pled a plausible claim that Twitter, you know, was essentially modifying its terms of service. And so no longer could they just ban me for any reason. They had to follow their own policies. Now, he didn't say that I was going to win, but he did say I had a plausible case and allowed the lawsuit to move forward. So what I think, and, you know, what you know, people on my side connected with my case think, is that now Twitter settled. Okay. And no, they haven't specifically, you know, admitted, oh, we're terrible, or, you know, we modified our terms of service or anything like that. But they have specifically admitted that they're reinstating me, and that they, you know, you can go back to the exact language in the settlement, but that they acknowledge that they shouldn't have, that they shouldn't have taken action against the tweets. That was, it's something like that. Okay. So my position is, or I think there's a legal argument here to be made by other people that, look, Twitter has now essentially done for everybody what it did for Berenson. It has acknowledged that it is going to abide by certain policies when it comes to banning people. And does that modify its terms of service? I don't know, but does it give people a plausible case? Yes. Now, here's what I'll say. For this to work for you, you need to be able to argue very strongly that on a factual basis, you didn't deserve the strikes that you got. And this can't work as a class action. Every case is going to have to be individually adjudicated, because it's really a fact pattern. Because let's say let's say you dox your ex-girlfriend. Okay. That's clearly a violation of Twitter's terms of service. And they can toss you.
Yeah, but they don't even enforce. I get doxed all the time. They don't enforce it, but sure. Go ahead. Yeah,
they're totally. That's right. They totally don't enforce their own rules. And there's tons of porn, and, you know, there's tons of terrible stuff on Twitter that they don't care about. They use this politically. So yes. So this is the argument. And by the way, Twitter's going to come back if you bring this argument in court, and they're going to say, you know, these are just modifications. They don't really change the underlying terms of service. And by the way, 230 lets us do whatever we want, whatever we say. Now, will that argument hold? I don't know. But what I do know is that in letting me back on, they have opened the door, I think, at least to this argument being plausible.
And basically all you were saying is that the vaccines have negative efficacy. Is that correct?
So it was 5 strikes. The final strike actually didn't say anything about negative efficacy. It said it doesn't halt infection or transmission. It's actually the very first tweet that I reposted when I got back on. It says it doesn't halt infection or transmission. Don't think of it as a vaccine. Think of it as a therapeutic, meaning like a drug that you would take in advance of infection, and that has negatives that can have bad side effects. So it didn't say it's going to kill you or make your brain pop out or, you know, 5G. It didn't say any of this stuff. It said that, look, we don't usually define stuff that, you know, has a like 2-month mechanism of working as a vaccine. And by the way, we know it doesn't halt infection or transmission. So, you know, so from my point of view, that tweet was entirely accurate at the time in August. It remains accurate today. And they should not have struck me. And they've now agreed to that.
So, Alex, I want to shift gears to kind of more about the vaccine. There are some studies coming out showing that the vaccine could potentially harm fertility and disrupt menstruation cycles for young women.
Yes.
And also there's this question of SADS. You've always done such a wonderful job of being fact first and data focused. What's your take on all of that?
So there, look, there's a lot of smoke. Some of it is more plausible than others. Here's what we know. The vaccines do disrupt women's menstrual cycles. Not every woman, but some women. And do they return to normal? They mostly appear to return to normal within a couple of months. That's, you know, that's still a couple of months. Do they lower sperm counts in some men? There's a very good Israeli study from a couple of weeks ago showing they do. Do they cause myocarditis in young? We're talking about the mRNA vaccines, the vaccines that were most commonly used in the United States and Europe, the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine. Do they cause myocarditis and pericarditis, which are you know, significant heart inflammation in some young men? Yes, they do. Those things, I would say at this point, are beyond dispute. Do they have a very, very short window of working against Omicron? I mean weeks, I would say. Yes. Do they possibly, you mentioned negative efficacy, which basically means they not only do they stop working, they actually make you more likely to be infected with Omicron if you're vaccinated. I think there's very strong evidence for that. And when you start talking about SADS, you know, which is essentially people dropping dead, it's, look, people, there have always been unfortunate cases where people have died of, you know, heart attacks. You know, they've gone to bed one night and they've seemed healthy and they haven't woken up. That's happened. Or people have had, you know, they've had aneurysms and, you know, literally somebody's, you know, going to get a cup of coffee or something and they just fall over and never, you know, never get up. They die of a brain aneurysm. So this has happened before. To me, the bigger question is when you look at all cause mortality data, that's the broadest.
Yes.
You know, death data that we have, everybody who dies, you know, Western governments, we do a pretty good job of logging when people are born and when people die. All cause deaths in Europe. Now, the U.S. data is a mess, but in Europe are up. They've been up. And this is ignoring COVID deaths. This is non-COVID deaths. OK, they're up significantly in the last 8 to 10 months. And that increase coincides with a couple of months after the vaccination campaigns began. And I think it is imperative that governments really start trying to figure out what happened. Now, we're not talking about, you know, double the number of deaths. We're not talking about, you know, this is not a depopulation campaign. This is, the question is whether or not these vaccines have side effects that are much worse than we understood and whether or not it makes any sense to
and
continue.
Whether or not we're even able to talk about it. Look, we know rates are inching up and they're still historically low, but if you're tired of the high cost of renting, there's still time to buy a home. And I was just talking about this on our program. You got to buy. And by the way, you could always refinance. If you think rates are too high, you could always refinance. So go to andrewandtodd.com. They're the ones to contact right now to get you financing into your new home. They're not just mortgage brokers. They're lenders with Sierra Mortgage. They've been through multiple ups and downs and economic markets like you can imagine, just like the ones we're seeing today. So you just got to go to andrewandtodd.com. Whether you're considering owning versus renting or seeking a safer haven for your family in a new state, now's the time to get a pre-approved loan to give you the edge over other buyers. I know Andrew and Todd. They're great Americans. We hang out together. They love the Lord. They're great people. So just go to andrewandtodd.com. Do not wait. Get your pre-approved loan today while rates are still historically low. And by the way, again, some of you might say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to wait for the rates to go, you know, down and all this. Okay, well, then what if the property is worth twice as much in 3 years because there's so many dollar bills out there? AndrewandTodd.com. AndrewandTodd.com can guide you through all of this. And remember, you can always refinance. So go to AndrewandTodd.com. We're not even allowed to talk about this right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, look, there are many issues around the vaccines, both around efficacy and side effects and this potential that, you know, they're driving variants, you know, that might become more dangerous in the future. Although we do, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's clear that Omicron, you know, definitely attacks vaccinated people and probably, you know, there's evidence that when you set up a billion people who all have the same immune response, there's a the virus is gonna mutate against that. So there are all these problems, and we need to talk about them. And governments and frankly, the drug makers need to research them and be honest about where we are right now. This issue is just too important.
So, Alex, one of the issues I think that people in our audience struggle with, and I think just general audience does, is they hear everything you're saying, they read your data, they read the Substack, and then they'll read the New York Times or watch something on television. And not to say that they trust the New York Times even, but they say, is it really, could it really be that clandestine? Can you help build that out?
Sure. So it's not so much clandestine. And why I'm so hated by these people and so dangerous on some level to these people is because I'm not talking about depopulation or crazy conspiracy theories. Okay. What I'm talking about is this. I covered the drug industry for the New York Times for several years. Okay. And I saw what these companies did. And it's not that they're setting out to kill people or anything like that, but they are for-profit entities, and they spend tons of money researching and promoting these drugs. And when there are problems with them, they don't want to admit them, okay? And a classic example of this was Vioxx. Now, Merck is considered maybe the best of the big pharma companies. Merck made Vioxx. It was an arthritis drug, basically a fancier aspirin that they sold for $3 a pill. And it turned out, unfortunately, that that Vioxx caused heart attacks, okay? And this was pretty clear even before they started selling the drug. And they wouldn't admit it, and the FDA allowed it to move forward. And years later, after thousands, the estimate was about 50,000 people had had heart attacks from Vioxx, finally the evidence became too strong and Merck had to pull the drug, okay? That was not an effort by Merck to depopulate the world. It was an effort by Merck to make money. And the FDA didn't do its job properly and didn't push back hard enough. Okay, what we have now is that on steroids. It's because what happened in 2020 was the companies ran a clinical trial to see if their vaccines worked, both Moderna and Pfizer. And the vaccines did appear to work in the clinical trial. And there were not a lot of extra deaths in the clinical trial. The data was pretty clean. The safety data was pretty clean. And what's called the efficacy data was excellent. Okay, and that led to the approval of these vaccines much, much, much too quickly, okay? The problem isn't that the vaccines didn't work for a couple months. It's that a vaccine isn't supposed to work for a couple months. It's supposed to work for decades or your lifetime.
Yes.
And so these were approved too hastily. People were too afraid of COVID, and they didn't really recognize the risks of this novel biotechnology. And unfortunately, a year and a half later, we're in the worst possible situation. The vaccines clearly don't work for very long. They clearly have more severe side effects than were admitted. But worse than that, both the public health community, the governments of almost every major country, and the media, perhaps worst of all, went all in on this in December of 2020. They totally forgot their watchdog mechanism. They totally forgot that Pfizer is no one's friend but Pfizer, and Moderna the same thing. And they now are in a horrible position and can't admit, again, when I say admit the truth, it's not like, everyone who got these is going to drop dead. It's, do these really work? And if they don't, what are the risks?
And then why are we mandating them too, though? That's another important point, right? Yeah. We're discharging people from the military.
Yes. I mean, so the mandates have largely been dropped, except in the case of, of soldiers and some healthcare workers. And the idea that school children are going to be mandated to get these is out the window. People are not going to tolerate that. So there is this sort of leftover mandates. But to me, that's a problem. But the bigger problem is this issue of, just the dishonesty in looking at what's going to happen next.
Yes.
And how we got here.
Alex, you got to get on Getter. They won't kick you off like Twitter did. We got to get you on Getter.
All right. Well, Charlie, right now I'm just concentrating on Twitter. And I am glad to be back on. But, listen, we have to keep pushing. We have.
Yes.
Because the mainstream media is so compromised around this, we're going to just have to keep pushing.
I love it. Alex Berenson, thank you for being so courageous and terrific, and we'll have you back on soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.